God, please take the Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. As we think about why the baby Jesus was born of a virgin, people say, well, that's not that big of a deal. It is if the mother's still a virgin when the baby's born. That's the miracle. A lot of virgins conceive and have a baby, but she was still a virgin when he was born. The very moment he hit earth through mama, she was still a virgin. You see, God the Father, God is his Father. Jesus has no earthly father. None at all. All of this, that's the mystery. That's the God coming down to establish a relationship with man. If you've heard me say many times, there's nothing going to impact your life more joyfully or negatively, more painfully than relationships. And that's true when it comes to parents and children, husband and wife, wife to husband, relationships. That's what matters in life. That's why Christmas is Christmas. And my relative called me last night. He asked, he said, I was just reminiscing. And he said, I just want to let you know we're still here and you're not, and we're thinking about you. What a precious thing. And my family is not like any other family. You know, we had our quarrels, and I'm talking about my extended family back home where I'm from. We're not unlike anyone else. I remember this one family getting mad at that one getting mad at this one, that one. And the fact is when I've noticed something in my family, those who have a closer walk with God just tend to get along better with family members. And when I was home this past Thanksgiving, I'd shared that with them. I said, you know what? I said, I've learned something because I'm very close to family members that I never had been all my whole life. And the reason is we found a common ground in Christ. And that relationship has grown and matured over the years. And we are definitely brothers and sisters in the Lord and walking in unity and faith, not just Christian people who have bickering. You know, that's a sad thing when God's people bicker. It's even a more sad thing when a family that is God's family bickers under one roof. This is not how God intended it for Christian people to live. And in Luke chapter number 2, we start here in verse number 8. This is the adoration of the shepherds. And we'll read a few verses here. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings and great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now I want you to go back, if you would, just to a few verses here, to verse number 10. Let's read this again. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now let's go to verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward all men. There's a lot of strife going on in this world. Wars. Heartache. And we wonder, where is Jesus in all of this stuff? Where is God in all of this strife and heartache? Even in our moments in our family. And if we look at the scripture, we can understand that God said here in verse number 10, he says, I bring you this angel speaking, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You ever wonder why the strife? You ever wonder why people doing bodily harm and threats to other people around the world and even here at home? Things just chaos in the midst of Christmas. Why families are at odds and things of that nature. Well, it's not that the Bible's not true right here. You see, God will work for those people where God is allowed to work in that life. You see, it's not that God just snaps his finger and there's peace to everybody. Jesus said there will be wars and rumors and wars. He said, in this world you shall suffer persecution. You shall have tribulation in another place. He says that. But when we come down to it, God will be to you what you allow him to be in your life. If you want the peace of God, notice in verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward who? Men. You see, we can only have that kind of life, that kind of relationship with other people if our relationship is God, with God is on that level. If not, our sin nature. You might not think you have a sin nature, but ask your spouse. She might disagree or he might disagree. We all have a sin nature. If you can't believe your spouse, believe the Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, it is our sin nature that disrupts what God has for us. It is our sin nature that will not allow God to be God in our life, even for Bible-believing people. This is where we stop the peace of God from flowing in our life. This is the time of year where we should have the peace of God. But not just this time of the year. Jesus didn't come that we make it just experience because we got some garland up on the rail at the house or a wreath on the door or a tree with lights on it. He came that we can have this peace 365 days out of the year. Year in, year out. Because when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within. And there's so many things that will certainly try to disrupt our peace in this life. And Jesus knew this. And I'm going to share some things with you today. It may not be that preachy. Some of you like good fireball preaching, and that's fine, I do too. But I want you to learn. I want you to grow in Christ. I want you to experience not a great sermon, but a change of heart in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, we've looked at this passage of Scripture many, many times. And I don't think there's a person in here that couldn't use a deeper dose, ever how you want to say this, an extra dose of the peace of God in your life. How many of you agree with that? Can I see your hand? I know I could. Because life gets more complex as it grows. Now be honest, how many of you got more people at your Christmas dinner table than you used to? Yeah. And Miss Collins says she had many people here in her house yesterday. She said, don't preach long today. I said, I tell you what, when my time's up, just take your pistol out, fire a few rounds in the air, and I'll know I'm supposed to be done. She said, everybody will fall out with a heart attack, Pastor. I said, no, but I know I'm supposed to finish right now. She was just kidding. And I am too. I think she was kidding. I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. And I want you young people and your older to listen up. You're not made. You didn't come from a monkey. God made you. God created you. He created me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, and the very God of, what's this word here? Peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the life that God wants his people to live. This is why our relationships are all so often strained. This is why there's so much conflict in this world. Because there is right and there's wrong. There's truth and there's error. And the most dangerous error, the most dangerous lie is that has 99% truth and 1% lie. And those are oftentimes the hardest things to detect. And ideology and having relationships. But God knows. God knows the truth. God wants us to be a people that walks with Him in truth and holiness. And to understand this, I want to break this down for you. If you have a piece of paper there, for those of you who've been here some time, you know how this works. But just, we have a few visitors here today. I want to try to encourage you. The reason I said you didn't come from a monkey, 99% of our higher education and public education teaches that you come from a monkey or evolution, and that is true. That is untrue. What is true is God created us, and He created us in three parts. He created a spirit, soul, and body. And you can take an outer ring. How many of you seen a target when you target practice or something like that with a firearm or something? Take a outer ring. That's your body. We are spirit beings. We are eternal beings that have been clothed in a body. Our body lets us know what goes on externally. We couldn't know what the temperature is unless we had touch. That's one of our senses. We wouldn't know if it's sunny outside, if we couldn't feel or if we couldn't see. You see, our bodies, our smell, our sight, we have five senses, our taste, touch, smell. All of these are five senses that keeps us in touch with our environment. And our environment is wicked. And our environment brings things to our before us that we have to make decisions and maybe temptations. And we hear information that comes through our ears that may be very dreadful and unpleasing and tormenting to our emotions and our heart. And there are all kind of things that come in. And when it comes in, we have to ask the question, what good is that baby in a manger if I can't have the peace of God 365 days out of the year? What good is that baby? Other than my eternal salvation. God just did not save us to take us to heaven and leave us here to fend for ourselves and grovel and grind through this world here and facing our problems that we face. Paul said, in the very God of peace sanctify, that means set apart. Now I want you to think about this. When issues come, when trials come into your life, things that you hear, things that you see that filter down into your second part. Okay, we got one ring. Let's go to the second ring. This is your soul. This is your intellect, your emotions, and your will. Intellect, emotions, will. In your mind, you process information. Okay? In your emotions, there's all kinds of emotions. Fear, bitterness, anger, joy. Happiness, all these things are emotions. It's not fruit of the Spirit. Understand, different. But all these things can come into our life. People handle strife different ways. People handle wrong different ways. God has given us His Word. How many of you have been wronged in your life? Got a wound in the heart. And God tells us in Ephesians 4 how to handle this. He tells us that forgiving one another, be ye tender-hearted. You see, when we apply the Bible, when we start applying the Bible, we can learn what it is to have the peace of God. Listen, life, God did not design life to be done alone. He designed our life to be walking with God. And we cannot walk with God unless we walk with God through Jesus Christ. And when we understand this, we're made in three parts, spirit, soul, body. And our soul is intellect, emotion, and will. And the inner ring is our spirit. And this is where our spirit will live for eternity. For those who have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our spirit is going to live for eternity with God in heaven. We will be with Jesus. For those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ, that eternal destination is not good. That is where the devil is going to be for all eternity. He will be cast into the lake of fire eventually. And for all those who have not put their faith in Christ, that's where they're going to be. I hope that's not you here this morning. And if it is, I want you to get the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus Christ died, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on Calvary's cross, resurrected on the third day, and taught many things and did perform many miracles so that we could believe that he was sent from God. And he was and is sent from God. And he sent his spirit back. And there's many things out there that you can put in your eyes and ears to discredit that biblical account. But know this. Know this. Satan will love nothing better for you than to take you to hell with him. I've studied this Bible, been preaching this spring for about 20 years. I don't find any contradiction in it. There's some things that I don't understand, and the longer I preach it, I do understand the things that I don't understand. Just because I don't understand it, that doesn't mean God's wrong or the Bible's wrong. It takes time for us to grow and have more knowledge of the Scripture. What good is it this baby come, that he would come and die, born wrapped in swaddling clothes, die on Calvary's cross, and the Scripture in Luke 2 say that God wants to bring peace to his people, to people through this child, Jesus Christ. How many of you ever got bad information, just something just happened all of a sudden, just and it strikes fear into your life? You see, people deal with strife different ways. Some people try to find their hope in a bottle of a liquor. Some people turn the TV on and try to escape reality. That's what TV is, you know. It means giving over your mind, the literal definition of entertainment. That's what it means. People try to deal with problems different ways. But even when you turn the TV off, even when the hangover's over, even then, listen, reality is still there. Relationships still need to be built. God still wants to work. And this peace that God wants to give to every person on this earth is not going to receive it unless we come in agreement with God. First for salvation, and then walking with God in agreement. I want to share something with you, just as a little side note. I ask you, have you ever received any information just kind of all of a sudden just kind of startled you? Many of you raised your hand. So-and-so has been in a wreck or something like that. Let's go to Luke chapter number 8. If we're going to understand how Jesus walked on this earth, I just gave you a very basic breakdown of how we're made. We're not made id, super id, and ego, as Darwin teaches, or Freudian teaches, excuse me. But he's based off Darwinism. God made us this way. In Luke chapter number 8, we have here Jairus' daughter. She's sick, deathly sick. How many think that's pretty serious? This is a real live human being. This is a father who's gone to try to find Jesus to help his daughter. Now you think about Christmas time. My little girl, she made a photo album of our family from little small babies. She did it herself, and up to a couple years ago, she's still working on the thing. But isn't it precious just to get the photo albums out and look at things and like, man, where did the time go? Where did the time go? And so we see here, Jairus has a daughter who is sick. And he went to find Jesus. And let's read in verse 48. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now, he's talking to a woman with an issue of blood. But notice here the dynamic of the situation. Verse 49. While he yet spake. Okay, you got that? Jesus is speaking. Something so urgent is transpiring. It's almost like somebody just jumps in and starts interrupting. like somebody was step into a room and scream fire, something like that. And that's the scenario or the real life situation where Jesus is, and that's where we pick up in verse 49. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is what?
Dead.
How many of you think that might strike fear right into your heart really quick? How many of you think that? Get such terrible information like that. You see, we've spent a lot of time talking about our emotions and how Satan manipulates our emotions. And we think that we are controlled by our minds, but we're not. We are more so controlled by our emotions, because ever how we feel, that's how we're going to behave. If we feel happy, we're going to behave what? Happily. If we feel fearful, we're going to conduct ourselves in a fearful manner. If we're depressed, we're going to be depressed. You see, our emotions is really what controls us. And Jesus knows this. He wants us to be controlled of the Holy Spirit, not by our emotions. And notice what he says right here. Let's read this again. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now, verse 50 is key. But when Jesus,
heard it,
he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Notice this, what Jesus did. And when he, when he heard it. That ought to comfort you and I today. When you get bad information, Jesus hears it. He hears it. But Jesus doesn't react like we react. When this man got this information, it's natural for him to go into a state of fear. But when Jesus heard it, Jesus interrupted his thought process. Because Jesus knows how you and I are made. We just read 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The God of peace sanctify, set apart you holy spirit, soul, and body. You see, what we have to do is learn how to perform and walk in this earth like Jesus Christ walked in this earth, where the information and the things that we receive will not drive us down into the ground and get into the emotional doldrums, but where we can walk in the Spirit of God. This is why that baby died in a manger, that we can have goodwill toward all men. They might not have goodwill to you, but you can have goodwill to them. They might not know the peace of God, but you can know the peace of God. What good? We like the Christmas story, but what good is it to go through our Christian life 365 days out of the year and not truly know the Prince of Peace? What good is it? When this man heard that fear, Jesus immediately interrupted his thought and his train of thinking and said, do not believe that. Believe. Only believe. What did he say? What's his first words here? Fear not. Fear is an emotion that's contained in our soul sector, in intellect, emotion, and will. And what Jesus was trying to do is back that thought out of his mind. And if we don't learn to do that, beloved, this babe that born in a manger, the peace and goodwill toward men. By the way, that's you and I, especially if we're saved. Amen. If we don't learn this process right here, that babe in the manger is going to mean very little to us outside of December 25th. Amen. And see what Jesus was doing. He was saying here, when Jesus heard it, he was trying to back that thought out. And the first thing he was trying to do was to get his emotions under control. He said, fear not. Notice the sequence here. He said, fear not, and what? Believe. You see, it's hard to believe the scripture when your emotions are in control. This is why Jesus said this. He didn't say believe first. He said fear not. And you know, when you fear, when you're in fear, your will, your soul, your intellect, your emotion, and what? Will. Your will, you have to will to agree with God and back those emotions up. He said, fear not. And when you get to that point, then you learn immediately to encourage yourself in the Lord. What did David do when all the men wanted to stone him at Ziklag and he lost his wives and all the men lost everything and all the men spake of stoning David? David went from being a golden boy all of a sudden down to being nothing, and his own men wanted to stone him. What did he do? He learned to encourage himself in the Lord. And if we don't learn this, we're going to be going through life, God, where are you at? Why can't I have this peace? Or why, where are you at in this terrible circumstance in my life? You see, there's some things that we have to learn ourselves. You see, Christmas isn't magic. It was a miracle. Miracle is when, magic is when Mickey Mouse waves his wand and something happens. But the miracle is when God changes us and something happens. You see, I want you to go to Philippians chapter number 4, and I want to show this to you right here. This is, I don't think outside of Jesus Christ anybody was greater than Paul that in learning what I'm telling you here today. And just like any person who takes martial arts or any kind of thing like that, you're only going to get as good at it as the amount of time you put into it. So this requires some mental fortitude. This requires some agreement with God. This requires some meditation. This isn't for the average, avid churchgoer. This is for people who want to know and have the peace of God in their life. And you know what? God allows those disturbances sometimes, so you'll dig a little deeper. You'll go a little deeper with Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter number 4. I want you to learn something, know something here. I'm going to start at verse 9. I'm going to back up a little bit. Well, I can't do that. Let's read verse 7. And the peace of God, and that's what we're talking about, right? And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through who? Christ Jesus. You're not going to find that anywhere else in this life. It doesn't come with, I have more peace if my finances were taken care of. I was talking to this guy the other day and just picking his brain about retirement and everything. Just a guy, no, I don't have any money to retire on. So I told him up front. He said, well, good. He said, we only deal with rich people anyway. He's just an acquaintance. But he said this. He said, money brings you more problems than you realize. He said, money brings you a lot more problems than you realize. And he went on to explain that. So money is not going to be your answer. That's what I'm saying. You see, you think this is your answer. I would have a lot more peace if this person was in my life, or this person was out of my life, or if I had this job, or if I lived here, or I went there, or you understand? That's the way the carnal mind thinks. That is not how God thinks. Paul said, in the peace of God which passeth all what? Understanding. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I want you to go to verse 9. He said, those things which you have both, what's this word here? Learned. I'm going to stop right there. Paul had to learn how to have the peace of God in his life. Listen, God doesn't take some special Christmas magic salt and sprinkle over us. Amen. He doesn't do that. God gave the local church to teach the Word of God so we can grow and learn how to have this peace. Listen, everybody celebrates this time of the year. Some call it a holiday or season's greeting. We call it Christmas. Amen. But if God's people who celebrate Christmas do not understand how to have the peace of God and goodwill towards men, listen, we are doing God a disservice. And we of all people have to know how to have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And Paul said here, he said here in verse 9, those things which you have both learned, are you willing to learn? Now notice what's the next part here. And what? Received. I'm trying to give you a little bit here today. Are you receiving it? If you are, say amen.
Amen.
Learned and received and what? Now you're hearing it. And seen in me. Paul is saying, look, you've seen this in me. You've watched me. You've seen me go through the shipwrecks and heard about it and all these things. And I've been with you teaching and all these things. You've seen in me. Comma, what's this next word? Do. Listen. We can pray till we're blue in the face, but the Bible doesn't work until we do. Do. It doesn't work till we do. We can think God's got your back and all this stuff, and you wonder why the wheels are running off your life. God will only take control and be responsible for areas of our life that we have surrendered to Him. Period. Until that is settled, there's not going to be that peace that the Prince of Peace wants to give in our life. Verse number 5. I'm going to hasten through this. Let your moderation, that your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. It starts with understanding that God is present in every situation. Let your moderation, your gentleness be known to all men. In other words, a bully's not going to mess with my child as long as daddy's present. And if we really believe God is omniscient and all-knowing, we will understand He's in every situation, not only looking at every situation, but as we just saw with Jairus, He's also listening to every situation. And sometimes when I was talking to one of my relatives, my wife's relatives actually, she can claim her. I'm just kidding. She's a good girl. Her daughter was thinking about dating somebody that she's not quite okay with this, and she was like, I'm going to kill him. Matter of fact, I told him. You know, but she come up in a different environment. That's how she handles her problems. You see what I'm saying? You see, when we have the information that we see through our eyes, we perceive through our eyes, and we perceive through our ears. Information that may get us angry, upset, fearful, scared. This is where Jesus wants to intervene immediately in our life. He says, fear not, only what? Believe. You see, that puts us in a totally different category than everybody else on this planet. Everybody else. And when we perceive that coming, now be honest, how many, I was explaining to my relative here, I said, you know, you show love through anger. Now, I know that may sound strange, but how many get a little bit angry when you see something and because you love and you care, you may show love through anger. Can I see your hand? Yeah. Yeah. You get, ugh. But listen, that is not, let's back that up. Jesus didn't show love that way. You see? You're trying to do it right, but you're doing it backwards. You're like me. You get it backwards sometimes. Good intent, but backwards. Good intention, but backwards. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. Good intentions, but you're getting it backwards. When you receive information, just like Jesus told this dad, look, don't, or in some cases he would say, don't be angry, only believe. In this lady's case, or this man's case, he said, fear not, only believe. You see, this baby's got to mean something to us. That's what I'm saying this morning. This baby Jesus, the Prince of Peace, He's got to mean something more than just a season to us. Paul said, you've had to learn it, you received it, and you've heard it of me. Now do it. Now do it. And we see here in verse 5, Paul's disposition. He said, because I know God's always around. I can be gentle about things. Amen. Now, how many, let's go back 20, 30, 40 years for some of you. Talk to some of you men. How many reared back and just put a hole in something when you get angry? When you, maybe 16. You ain't done it in a long time, but anybody like that? Yeah, be honest, yeah. You see? But if you know God's got it, if you know God's there, you know God's dealing with it. Now, ladies, what about you? You may show anger through your tears. You may go in your room and get your little cuddly blanket and go have your me time. Some of you smiling. I hit you right on the head. Or a hot cup of cocoa, whatever your comfort food is. But the fact is, Jesus is greater than that. Are you getting what I'm saying here this morning? He has to be more since he is there. Verse 6. Be careful. Don't be full of care, full of anxiety for nothing. Nothing means what? Nothing. Zero minus zero is zero. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and what? Supplication. In other words, lifting it up in prayer. Supplication means you're praying on somebody else's behalf. How many get problems out of other people sometimes? Ladies, you can go ahead and pray for him. It's all right. All honesty, sometimes it's the other way. Thanksgiving. Why does Paul want us to have a thankful heart when we're having a struggle, having peace? Let me tell you why. Having a thankful heart keeps the bitterness out. You see, just like Jesus didn't want that man's heart full of fear, he doesn't want your heart and my heart full of bitterness. He doesn't want it full of anger. He doesn't want it full of discouragement. So we have to learn to be thankful. You say, Pastor, I got a lot going on. I got a lot of problems. Listen, be thankful for what you have. But I'm here to tell you, somebody's willing to trade places with you. You've heard me say that. Somebody's willing to trade places with you. So we see Paul saying, be thankful. Let your request be made known unto God. What happens when we get upset about things or fearful about things? We typically want to call somebody, don't we? But the first person we ought to go to is God. We just need to go to God. And notice what he says in verse 7. Now we're back to this. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep. This word keep means garrison. Like an army garrison. Like a soldier on duty with a loaded weapon, willing and able to defend against any and all threats. You see, when we learn this process, and young people, the sooner you learn it, the better off you're going to be. Took me decades to get this. Still working on it. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, get this, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It didn't say Budweiser. It didn't say work more so your mind doesn't get on things. It doesn't say TV or whatever. What your little escape is, it said through Christ Jesus. Amen. Through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true. You see, when you're dealing with people, people often lie to you. Amen? Amen. Or they're so backward, it's just no truth in what they're doing. Paul said, don't think on those things. He said, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are what? Just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what's this next word? Think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard of me, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have what? learned. You think Paul is trying to tell us something here? He's learned some things. And as we go through this life, we learn some things. And if we don't handle it biblically, we don't come to God and His Word and say, "Lord, I've got information. I'm receiving information. I'm dealing with people. I'm dealing with a circumstance, and it's frustrating. I want to get mad. Or I want to get bitter. And I want to get afraid." Whatever your emotion is, that wants to run and ruin your life at that moment, because whatever you believe is emboldened. If you believe the message of fear, it's empowered in your life. But if you believe the Word of God, it's empowered in your life. Paul said, "Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, think on these things." And this has to be a learning process for us. If not, this babe in a manger that grew up and died for you and I, rose on the third day, we're not going to experience the peace He wants to give us. And young person, one day, you might not need it now, but I'm here to tell you, one day you're going to need it. Because life's going to hit you smack. And you're going to realize there's things out there that you can't handle. How many of you already realized that? Tiptoe. Yeah. And that's when we come to God in prayer, giving it to Him. Because He is our Father. If we have Jesus as our Savior. Amen. We're not going to sing a hymn for altar call this morning. I'm going to ask a little miracle. She's got a little song. It's talking about casting all your care upon Jesus. And some of you may have some cares here this morning. You try to put them back out of your mind because it's Christmas and you're supposed to smile because it's the smiley time of year. There's some things you're concerned about. Things that has disturbed your peace. Things that has you concerned. Things that are wrecking your life. And we're about to go into a new year. Let us be a better Christian next year than we have been this year. And as we have heard, Paul says, "You've heard it. Now let's do it."